half tissue that I wish you saw. Side captain, Mr. Know It All. I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cause with the birds I'll share. With the birds I'll share this. We kick off hour number two. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. 8:15, Chris is going to don the taboo mouth holder openers. I don't know what they are.
I'll need a roll of paper towels.
You will.
Yeah.
You're going to drool all over your computer. Keep that thing
safe.
Yeah,
I'll push it back.
Yeah.
They're not exactly waterproof, as I found out, or coffee proof, for that matter. Mm. So, do you still have that worry in the pit of your stomach that this is going to be like 2016?
Yes, but not for the same reason.
Yeah, I agree.
In the 2016 team was as good or better than Texas A&M. They just fumbled the ball a gazillion times and lost in overtime. Like, you win that game. I don't think we were as good as Alabama. You weren't going to beat them probably any time you played them, but it would have been nice to have another shot. You lost to Alabama 49-10 the next week. Mm-hmm. If you beat A&M, if you didn't have all the insane drama with Jalen Hurd getting jacked up against Georgia, having the concussion, running back on the field, quitting the team, and all that drama.
Because I'm trying to remember how that went. He didn't make the trip to A&M because it was Kamara and John Kelly. Didn't play against Alabama. Did he play again? Or was he? I think he was done at that point, right?
I think that was it, yeah. And it was funny because all us regular South End Zone people were like, there's something bad going on here. And all the insiders were like, no, there's nothing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, no, he actually just quit. But if you beat A&M, this is kind of what, back to Matt's point, if you had beaten A&M that year, you lose to Alabama, you just need to take care of business down the stretch. We all know how it went. I mean, mm-hmm. He had no business losing to Vanderbilt or South Carolina. You win those games. You get a rematch with Bama in Atlanta. And you get a shot. And if you somehow win that game, you're in the playoff and you're SEC champs. Even if you lose in the first round of the playoff, you're SEC champs. Even if you lose that game, you're 11-1 going into it. You're 11-2 after. You're getting the best bowl slot outside of the playoff, a Sugar Bowl berth. And that season would have been seen as Tennessee's back. And that's really what you're trying to do this year. I just think we knew that team wasn't that good during the year, but I don't necessarily think it was because you needed better players. They just didn't play well enough.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like that team had the horses to blow out or at least beat Appalachian State by double digits. You ended up stuck in overtime. The Virginia Tech game looks great on paper, but, I mean, they fumbled the ball a gazillion times. You beat Ohio,
yes.
The Bobcats, by 9 at home.
That was the game you lost Cam Sutton, I believe. And maybe Jalen Reeves-Maven?
I think that's the game where the turf was just terrible.
That one was really, really bad. The worst one was the North Texas game the year before.
Okay, maybe that's that was one. That they're green was, and white team as well.
Yeah, that one was awful, but it was really because Cam Sutton was doing things on a punt return and he stops and just slides and just leaves a mud trail and then he goes down and he didn't come back.
With that Ohio game though, you beat them 28-19. You were ranked 15th in the country
because you had fallen down so far after barely beating App State, and it took all those other games to get you back to where you were to start the season. By the time you played A&M.
But, I mean, we might as well just do it. Worst case scenario, right? Doesn't the first half against Florida that year feel like the second half of the Pitt game this year? Where, like, what has happened? Our offense cannot do jack. Mm-hmm. We haven't scored, like, the whole half with this offense? Are you kidding me? That's the way it felt starting that Florida game. And then the second half of the Florida game in 2016, you're like, why don't you guys play like this all the damn time?
right.
You'd be right there in the national conversation. I mean, it's just complete Jekyll and Hyde. And I do feel like this team under Josh Heupel the last 2 years has those tendencies at times. And we all kind of assume they've gotten over some proverbial hump with that, but until you see it a few times and you see some consistency, yeah, there's always going to be that fear in the pit of my stomach that we can play a whole half of football and not score with this offense. And with this defense, that means you're going to get beat against anybody that's actually pretty good. Now, I'll say it again, it's a really good year to be good because all these other teams seem to have issues. And you can not, you know, you did cause the injury to the quarterback in the Pitt game, and that kind of saved you.
Mm-hmm.
We did. The only reason they scored was we muffed a kick, and you know, you kind of let them do that. But that's the kind of crap that allowed for these close games in 2016. You had the Georgia game won, and then you allowed a dumb touchdown late, and then had to hit a Hail Mary. I mean, it was a roller coaster. I don't know. I hope to God you don't get the go down and lose to a high school senior and Jake Bentley type of game from this team. That's hopefully we're over that hump.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we're over the kind of the way we lost at A&M or because that or like the App State thing. That's kind of what the Pitt game felt like.
Yeah.
Like we're way better than them. Why haven't we put them away?
That was not a particularly good App State team though. And I'm not saying this Pitt team is great. I'm just saying that is a
yeah, it wasn't the one that was like beating everybody.
Right,
like
right,
some
right.
Of their
you
other
know,
teams.
And this Pitt team, and I get it. They're not as good. I still can't believe they lost to Georgia Tech. That's really kind of inexcusable considering Georgia Tech just fired everybody. But that is the defending ACC champ. They got a lot of guys on that team who have won a lot of football games. It was on the road. You did make the plays in overtime when you had to. So I don't know. It feels similar, but also, to your point, they were both overtime games, but it does feel a little bit different just due to quality of opponent on paper. Florida game, like, they never really stopped us on offense. We stopped ourselves a few times. The early fumble, not picking up the fourth down late. And I think maybe those are some good things for Heupel as we move forward because according to the line and a lot of the projections, like this is going to be another close game this weekend. And I think granted, LSU has this experience too, and they are playing at home, but having some experience winning close games when you've been a favorite is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because last year, that's something this team didn't do particularly well. What was the record last year in one-score games? 1-3, 1-4. You know, we're already 2-0 in one-score games. I think that helps build confidence. I'm not saying that means you're going to win every close game or win every game this year, but I do think that that shows whatever changes they made as a staff, as a team, they're building confidence. It's working. And I think when stuff works, there's only more and more buy-in from the players. I don't have a problem with this team right now and say, man, they just don't seem to try very hard or they don't look bought in. I think we have deficiencies, especially in the defensive secondary, but I'm not seeing a lack of effort.
Well, now let's go the other way because I feel like that was kind of the worst case scenario is that, you know, this team just still has issues that'll be exposed eventually. But I do think all of the things you just said are true, and I do feel like they play more consistent than the Butch Jones teams ever did. I mean, sure, there's some moments. It feels different. There's moments where we hit some ruts, but I don't feel like it's for lack of effort. I don't, like you said, I don't feel like it's it feels more like a symptom of the system and the scheme on offense. And that same system and scheme is why you can just completely haymaker out Missouri and South Carolina last year and hopefully do that again to those types of teams. So it felt like the Butch Jones teams, you never knew which players were going to show up. It feels like the Josh Heupel system, the same dudes show up every time.
It's just a matter of when they're prepared. Yeah, yeah.
But this offense can be so good that when your timing's a little off, when you do sputter here or there, when you get a penalty or somebody misses a block, it can kind of knock you off schedule, which kind of makes you more like a regular offense instead of this, you know, we're going to score 60 every game type of deal. So, and that's, you know, that's okay. I think you've got to ride that roller coaster a little bit on offense. The big question is just going to be, can this defense hold up against these middle teams, the Kentuckys, the LSUs? You know, I guess South Carolina's next. Surely, to God, they can slow down Vanderbilt enough.
I would think so.
And then how, you know, and then can the defense get off the field at all against Georgia and Alabama? And if they can, how then we find out, okay, how good can the offense be?
I think pretty good. Just that's what I was kind of making a joke about it. But I think this offense can be pretty good. Hickman agrees, I think.
Okay.
Well, I'm watching some. I'm watching the play-by-play of the Tennessee-Ohio game from 2016.
Why?
Just reminiscing.
And you chose that one?
He's just YouTube goofing over there.
Well, we mentioned it.
I don't know why. That's pretty good, YouTube goofing.
And, yeah, I mean, you talk about just flipping a switch. Flipping a switch. Instantly, we had like a three-play touchdown drive, first possession. And then it goes just sloppy.
That's what they did against Virginia Tech. They looked like crap, and they went like four plays, 80 yards, touchdown, then a comeback touchdown after a fumble. And it's like, see, this is what you could do every time. But then with Butch Jones, like we said this before, like he got slower every year, like to the point where the hurry up offense was no longer even anything close. This team, I think statistically, is a little bit slower than last year, but you're not to the point where you're like, oh yeah, we're just just a regular old offense now. We're still using the tempo to get teams off balance.
Man, the schedule coming up, I say it's a good year to be good because these teams all seem to have issues. But, I mean, you're about to go to at number 25 LSU, host number one Alabama. You got UT Martin in the middle. And then it's number 13 Kentucky, which they never seem like they're ranking just because it's Kentucky and we always own them. And then it's at number two Georgia. So, like, I look back. When we do the show, I have to look back at a lot of the seasons, you know, like Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, and like in the Dooley years especially, there'd be three or four games in a row where it's like single digit rankings. It's just kind of brutal. But I mean, this could be that type of stretch coming up.
It's kind of turned into that.
What do you want to go in that stretch?
Undefeated.
I mean, ideally, yeah, undefeated. But if you're just being realistic,
you're saying through Georgia?
Yeah.
LSU, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, those four games. Like, you know, a lot of people before the season would say, just give me 2-2 there. We'll go 10-2.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I'm not trying to be greedy. Obviously, yeah, like 3-1 would be incredible. 4-0 would be
moon
unbelievable. But
3-1's unbelievable.
Well, I know, but I'd already said anyway. 2-2, and I'm not going to be disappointed unless we just look awful.
Yeah, like you beat Kentucky and LSU by a field goal each, and you just lose by 40 to both.
Yeah, then it's like, I mean, it's still, you end up 10-2. And again, there's a lot that goes into that, right? That's
sure.
You know, what was the injury situation, and how did the games unfold? Were you sloppy, or was it just
now? There's a world
day
where you feel better at 9-3 one way than you do at 10-2 a different way.
I agree.
So,
it's Tyler Bird signing.
Oh God! All right, Houston's doing punishment next. I don't know. You guys think of some hot takes he needs to say with his, or maybe you can just do the regular segment. Drilling all over the place.
That sounds so great.
We'll get a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we're two continues. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Andrea, pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. LSU football tweeted, gates open and beer on sale at 9 a.m. on Saturday. And some moron said, 9 a.m. you say? Oh, those poor, poor Tennessee visitors. They have no idea what they're in for.
Yeah, we don't drink beer.
Good Lord.
Terrifying. Oh, I guess I got to hang on.
Yeah, pop that bad boy in there.
Yeah, you've delayed this enough.
It does have a funny look. I mean, it just...
You think it's funny?
Yeah, I can actually tell what you're saying a little bit.
What if you looked like that all the time, but still could talk normal?
My mouth would be very dry all the time.
You got to start drooling here in a second.
It's kind of lean back a little bit. How amazing is it that Josh Heupel has done this so fast? Hain. Wow.
So fast. What are you talking about?
Only a year and a half in.
This is the Davey Hudson second year litmus test.
Yeah.
You got to go, what's the rule?
Lyle Jones.
Two or less, three or less losses in year two.
Lyle
like
Jones said it takes 6 or 7 years. Heichel's done it in 17 games.
I mean, it was to be, you know, to be kind of an elite level coach. So this is these games are going to be the tail of the tape.
You're going up against an elite level coach. Well, a pretty good coach. He killed a kid.
He did kill a kid.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
He's a killer.
Yeah? Yeah. Remember when we were comparing, was it Jeremy Pruitt that people said, look at Dabo Sweeney, he didn't win immediately.
Sometimes it's hands, Nate.
It's pretty good.
You make mistakes.
You should try and drink a cup of coffee with that in.
Yeah, Nate. How'd I look?
Stupid.
That's all right.
I can really see those gums. I mean, man, you must floss.
I think dentists should use those.
I mean,
they do.
They do, Hickman.
I just open my mouth wide.
You don't have the little thing that holds it open for you?
No, it looks nothing like that.
Dentist,
I've never had that.
Jeff City.
Just when I had surgery.
Oh, okay.
You know, listen to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they're just doing a cleaning, you can just hold it open. But, like, if you have a cavity filled, they put a thing in there to hold your mouth open.
I've not had a cavity filled since I was a boy.
You're still a
boy. Since I was a little youngin'.
Yeah, this is year two. This is when your coach shows that he's going to be a elite national championship-winning dude.
Right? I agree.
Like Kirby. Saban.
How many players left the team?
Urban Meyer.
Campbell.
How many transfers do you have?
Campbell.
Campbell sucks.
What do you mean transfers left the team? For
when
who?
Jerry got hired.
When Pruitt left?
Yes.
I don't know, what, 30-something?
Yeah, it's a lot.
32?
We still are up there in the composite talent rankings.
Yeah, because Heichel and got transfers.
Yeah. That's
and Tech transfers.
Right.
Got Rue McCoy.
Who McCoy?
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, just say names. That's funny.
Grew.
I don't know who that is.
Grew McCoy.
You can't say the B's.
Uh-uh.
Grew. It sounds like Grew McCoy. Sounds like a dude from Minions.
N-O-H. Yeah. Yeah, luckily he got some veteran players like Cedric Tillman.
Yep.
Jalen Hyatt. That one's easy to say.
There you go.
Say the bull.
Jeremy Banks.
Feed the bull.
Feed the bull. That one's really hard.
Tweeter says, I think a good punishment for Houston would be to make him agree and give talking points on why he agrees with every single Hickman take for an entire show.
Because yep. Adam is very, very smart.
He's what?
Well educated. Snart.
Snart. No M's, huh?
Yeah.
No M's or B's.
Mm-mm.
It's a limited alphabet.
He's a
here.
Good cowboy.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, yeehaw. I can say yeehaw.
There you go.
He did, he gusted his ass last night on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you might have been better, though. I'm just going to say it. I was electric out there. I was Johnny Manziel of curling.
Always
must
something
watch.
Happening. It's a good point.
Yeah, look at that.
It's a good point.
In Cleveland.
Johnny Manziel, Cleveland.
I couldn't say the team name.
Yeah, yeah.
The grounds.
The rounds.
The rounds.
The rounds. Huh. Okay.
Apparently, I sound like I'm actually from East Tennessee. So some people are saying.
Yeah,
and named Leroy.
It's a Leroy. Actually, I think I sound like I'm from South Carolina.
Nah.
Yeah, you got to get down and test the
your
creek.
Your mouth's way too open for that. You got to talk when it's almost closed. You know, you just
and
it has
the creek.
You know,
just, I have some creek. Shoshone arrowheads on it. Yeah, Hickens, he's a smart guy.
Handsome devil.
Handsome, likable. honey? Hey, honey.
This poor guy's getting educated killed on... now by Tennessee fans.
Hey.
This random dude that said, those poor, poor Tennessee visitors.
It's funny because that looks like a guy who's probably never had a beer in his life.
What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like
in Death Valley? It's a sellout.
Think they're going to be excited? Because it's a team that, you know, it's a big SEC game. We're undefeated.
I saw an LSU fan tweet that regardless of kickoff, even for 11 a.m. games, Death Valley is still the greatest environment in college football.
Okay.
And that is an absolute load of horse crap.
It is always really, really high. Normally, he'll make the caveat.
Did you say hot?
High.
Or high.
On the list.
High. Okay.
Of great environments.
All right. All right.
However.
However.
Usually there's a caveat.
Caveat, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a letter that looks like this that I can't say. That after the sun goes down
right.
when the atmosphere really ants up.
Yeah, I got it.
I said ants
up. Amps up.
Yes, thank you, yeah.
Well, one of their 11 a.m. games last year was Florida, and they had 97,000 people there. And that was
crap.
Two 500 teams.
I have some stats about LSU at 11 a.m. games.
Okay. They're not very good.
Well, they don't play many of them, do they?
No. You might want to rethink that. Fun fact. This is fun for
no,
LSU.
No, like, they're not good for us. Right?
I'm talking about LSU. And
I know.
You're saying the same thing. Go ahead.
They're pretty good at 11 a.m.
Since 2000, LSU is 8-0 in 11 a.m. games in Death Valley. LSU in those games.
Wait, 22 years, eight times.
Games.
Eight games. Also, their opponents, not in good.
Yeah. And they are averaging, in those eight wins, 41.25 points per game.
Because they're not playing junk.
Oh, God. I mean, our defense is probably what some might consider junk.
They ain't played nobody, Hall.
Heupel's coached one game there.
Who?
Hall.
Hall.
It's
right.
Hall Hi-Han.
Did he make a trip there when he was with Mizzou, Brett?
Yeah, in 2016.
Yeah, they got slaughtered.
42-7.
What year?
2016.
How good was LSU in 2016?
Don't remember.
Okay.
Let me find out real fast.
Yeah, take your time, man.
Okay.
The drool has really started to...
Really setting in there?
It's actually... It was set in. Now it's stilling out.
Mm. Gotcha. All right. They were 8-4, 5-3 in the SEC in 2016.
Not bad.
They lost to Auburn 18-13. Wisconsin to start the year 16-14. They lost to Alabama 10-0. And they lost to Florida 16-10. They beat Missouri 42-7. As you mentioned.
That was the year the Florida game got switched to Baton Rouge, right?
16? Yeah.
Yeah, because it shows it postponed.
What hurricane was that?
A large one.
I was hoping you knew the name so you could say it for us.
No, I can't remember.
LSU was allowed only 3 points in the second half against SEC opponents. This past weekend, Ashford threw for 247 yards in the first half, but only 90 in the second.
According to Tyler Lyatt,
okay,
a $100 parlay gangle. I can't say this.
Did you say gandle?
Like a debt gangle.
Gamble?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah?
Sorry. On Tennessee going Horno.
Uh-huh.
And the next four.
And the next four.
Yeah, not as Uchi Norton.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
LSU.
Win.
Alabama.
Win.
Kentucky.
Win.
Georgia.
Win.
$100.
$100.
It'll win you.
We'll win you.
$9,700.
That's it?
That's right. $9,700.
Only $9,700?
I think about like 5 years ago how much that would have won you.
You'd never learn.
$97,000. We'll come back with more. Three and out. Stick with us right here. I guess we'll give Houston a break.
Thank you.
Later. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Happy to be here.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Ice, baby.
Football season is rolling along, and now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with our promo code 3OUT. Been talking tons of college football, and there's all different ways you can bet. I know a lot of people are on the first quarter minus a half point on Tennessee. And FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads, player props. You can do it all, and live betting as well. So sometimes if you can kind of read how a game's going, you can get the right odds there. And you get paid fast when you win. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. It's the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up today with our promo code 3OUT. That's 3OUT for your no-sweat first bet. It's promo code 3OUT. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, college football, the NFL as well. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee, of course. First online real money wager. Only refund issue is non-withdrawable. Free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline. And make it happen with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789. You made a good point in the break with the gambling.
Yeah, once I took the thing out of my mouth and right. I could actually make a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The line is a field goal, essentially, and the LSU beat reporters are like, this game's not going to be close, Tennessee's going to win. That's a
strange conundrum. What are they doing?
What do they know?
What do they know? I mean, Jaden Daniels is twice hobbled, right? Knee and back. Their offensive line, not very good. Did you see my tweet yesterday about the pressure rate by Tennessee's defensive front?
Mm-mm.
39% of the time we pressure the quarterback on dropback passes. That is fifth best in the country.
Okay.
Not the SEC, Nate, the entire nation. Can we get home? Is this the breakout game for Barron and Young on the Bayou?
I don't know that it will be.
Barron and Byron on the Bayou.
From a straight.
Bringing down big
sack numbers. I think it's just, you got to hem in Jaden Daniels. You got to make him feel constricted in the pocket. You know, you got to just kind of squeeze him like a big boa and just not let him escape. Force him into some tough throws or where he kind of runs around and eventually you flush him with no one open so he has to throw it away or, you know. Gets back to the line of scrimmage, those type of plays.
I have seen a lot of the LSU fans. Granted, they're excited about where the season's at. They realize they're a blocked extra point in overtime away from being undefeated. But they're very upset with Jaden Daniels. I shouldn't say upset as in get him out of there. But that his internal clock gives up pretty quickly on a play, and then he just wants to pull it down and run. He's not throwing guys open. He's not wanting to stand in the pocket. He's been athletic enough to escape and run around quite a bit. Mm. But I feel like if you can pressure him a little earlier than we have been, and if our corners can just cover for us just a smidge,
yeah,
you could actually really make him uncomfortable in this football game. Get him taking off a little too early, and maybe you can have him flush into the rush. Because it seems like we got beat by Richardson when he would scramble to throw. Right, like buy some time, move up in the pocket,
right.
Escape the pocket. And then he did a really good job of continuing to look downfield. So far this season, Jaden Daniels has not done that.
Mm-hmm.
He's, as soon as he feels any kind of pressure or if he doesn't see anybody open, he's just taken off to run. If he's hobbled, and even if he wasn't, he's not nearly the athlete that Antonio Richardson is.
No.
But I do feel like I haven't seen the numbers. Have they been calling a lot of designed runs with him, or are they not mostly off of pass plays that in his mind have kind of broken down and he just tries to escape?
That's what I've seen.
Yeah, me too.
Is the pass plays that have broken down. I don't know about that many quarterback draws, and I wouldn't think they're going to call many quarterback runs, power draws, that type of thing if he's a little beat up. I mean, you saw that Garrett Nussmeier came in and they didn't score a point from that point on in the football game against Auburn.
They had 5 yards passing in the second half.
Yikes.
Five yards passing. Now, their running backs did a really good – that Emory kid's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that Florida game, I thought we were going to get a heavy, heavy dose of – is it Williams, Etienne, and Naquan Wright? And really, it felt like – and maybe this was because Billy Napier knew he was going to have to throw it all over the place. Like, I didn't think they ran it as much as they probably could have or should have, because that's what we all thought, right, coming into the game. Oh, they're going to run it. They're going to try to control the clock. But really, they kind of turned Richardson loose. I mean, he threw the ball 44 times. Doesn't feel like LSU is going to throw it around that much. But again, teams kind of have a tendency to change what they do when they play us because they realize, hey, you know, 21, 24 points just ain't going to cut it.
Right.
You can do that against Auburn. You could throw for 5 yards in the second half against Auburn and have success running the football because Auburn is going to self-destruct. Although Ashford did have 334. Difference is they moved the ball but then really couldn't do much with it in the second half. I think Tennessee, if you give Hendon Hooker – like, would you take 334 from Hendon Hooker right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because it feels like if Hendon Hooker has 334 – he's probably got three or four touchdowns and another one rushing, and we've done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I Tennessee just needs to play their A minus B plus game, and this is a win. Tennessee plays a C plus game and B minus game, and it's gonna be anybody's ball game. Because you're going to end up at the 28-24 game and could go either way.
What grade game do you think we played against Florida?
C plus?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Like, if you play that bad, I guess you almost have to divide it between offense and defense. I mean, if you play that bad defensively...
If you grade it as a whole, it's a C plus because the final two or three Florida possessions were so bad defensively that, I mean, you made a game that should have been a 21-point blowout, and you made it come down to a Hail Mary towards the end zone final play.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense was so good, really, we never punted. The only time we didn't score was when we went for it on 4th-and-3, which if you actually go back and watch that play there to end the game, Jalen Hyatt was wide open. Hooker just made the wrong read. And then we had the fumble.
I think I'll give it a B.
B overall?
Yeah. I was actually a little, like Matt asked me that question a while back. I was actually a little more encouraged watching the Florida game because I felt like Anthony Richardson made some plays that I didn't think he was good enough to make. I didn't think it was like, oh, my God, we left that guy wide open. Any quarterback could have made that play. Like, he made a few plays that other quarterbacks we're going to play later in the year are not going to be able to make.
Agree.
And that changed the football game a little bit in their favor. And, you know, you were still good enough to – I mean, obviously, I wish they'd have closed the game out better. But I think it was just a B game. And I think if you play a B game at LSU, you might still win. But you are opening yourself up to them playing a lot better and losing. You play a B-plus game, A-minus, I think you're definitely going to win.
I guess I'm a little curious as to how good their defense really is.
I mean, Hendon Hooker was lights out against Florida.
He was unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we think, like, Ojulari is really good. I thought Brendan Cox was really good, and we did a pretty good job of neutralizing him. Are LSU's linebackers better than Florida's?
I'm worried about their secondary being better than Florida's.
Okay.
And their secondary player, like a 7-yard pass against Florida is a 3-yard pass against LSU. Because they're able to play a little tighter. They tackle a little better. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying these are things that could happen. I have no idea if I mean, intern Brett's been on this. I think he's right. They're similar types of personnel, right? Like types of long athletic guys. But they're not very dynamic when they're on offense. And so if our high octane offense can put some points on the board, it's going to be tough for LSU. And that's what we need to see.
I know we say this just about every week when we play good teams. Don't give them anything cheap, right?
You can't.
Don't muff a punt that leads to a touchdown. Don't let them have a punt return touchdown, a kick return touchdown, scoop and score, something stupid. You know, protect the football. I think in this game, it's weird because we didn't punt against Florida. In this game, I think a punt is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you don't want to do it every time, but I'm not going to be – if because this is a good defense. Like, if we have a couple drives where we just don't have it, a punt is a very, very good thing. I will say, though, their defense is a lot better in the second half than it has been in the first.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ashford had close to 250 of his 334 passing in the first half.
Yeah, 97 in the second half,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job clamping him down. That said, Auburn's also not very – what did Auburn score against Penn State?
Oh, gosh.
What, like points?
13?
12.
12.
41 to 12.
Was it four field goals?
I don't remember. Auburn had five turnovers against LSU. It's probably why they lost as well. They
had five turnovers against LSU?
I think
they
had four in the second half. Maybe three in
against
the fourth
LSU?
Quarter. Yeah, I think they had three in the fourth quarter. I think I saw a stat on that. Because I think that's where
don't
saw
do
the
that.
Five passing yards.
Don't do that.
So Auburn, first quarter, field goal. Second quarter, field goal. Fourth quarter, touchdown.
And then they went for the two-point conversion and missed it? Okay.
Ashford's not that good. He's an athlete. He's got some potential, but
oh no, I agree.
When it comes to being
a
quarterback,
he did not look good against Missouri. I mean, he's a good athlete. He could run around a little bit, but he looked awful throwing the football.
I mean, he was fourth string, right, coming into the season,
third or fourth. Yeah,
Calzada, Finley, and there was another guy too. I thought.
Yeah, and I can't remember what the deal was with that. I thought he was fourth.
Man. He's an athlete.
He's got to get a little better at throwing the football, but he is really good athlete.
40's pretty good.
Hmm?
340's pretty good for a guy that can't throw it.
Yeah, there was one big play that was a busted coverage in the first half, but I'm just saying, like, he's not a very accurate. When he throws the ball, it doesn't always look very good.
No.
Like, it's wobbly, and he was rolling to his right a few times against Missouri, had guys wide open, and it's just, you know, sailing ducks over their head. It was kind of baffling.
If LSU would have lost that game, I think that just completely tanks their season.
If they lose to Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably
right. Auburn's bad.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. Stick with us right here on Three and Out.
It was a graveyard smash. He did the mash. It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast.
Final segment, hour number two. Chris, they said we still sound the same.
That's a lie. That is a lie.
We'll have NFL Eliminator and college football waiver, playoff waiver picks coming up in hour three.
Those aren't going well, playoff picks. At least on my end, I guess.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
How are you doing?
Mine are okay. I got Georgia, Oklahoma State.
Nobody's doing as good as I am, though.
Huh?
I think all my teams are in the top 10.
Utah? Huh? All your teams are in the top 10?
Really?
Who's got Penn? Actually, got Penn State? Penn State's not.
They are. They're 10th.
Yeah, they're
10th. Ooh, yeah. Wow. Look at me. I got 40% of the top 10.
That's actually it's pretty good.
Yeah, but they're none of the good teams.
I got two undefeated teams. Wait. Right. I got two top 10 teams.
It's half of mine, but.
Got a drop.
Good job.
Huh? This week. I got a go.
Uh-huh.
What's that clicking? Oh. It's gone now. Nurse Nate over here.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that
restless
chair
leg
is.
Syndrome.
No, that chair's not, seen better days.
It's not a chair. He's a fidgeter.
I feel that.
Yeah. That's a tough one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Fidgeter. Yeah, I got Alabama, Southern Cal, Oklahoma.
Where are they?
Not good. Not good. And Washington. Got to get rid of those two. That's not going to be too slick. Adam, you had Clemson. State College University's team, Michigan, Tennessee.
Let's see here. Grett has Ohio State, Baylor, NC State, and Lake Forest. Did I read yours? Oh, no. Georgia, Utah. Here you go. Arkansas.
Mm-mm, not good.
Oklahoma State.
Doing okay. Doing okay. Tracking. Tracking.
Got Waterworks over here.
Waterworks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Arkansas did stay at 25 in the coaches poll somehow.
For now.
At 3-2, which makes no sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
No chance.
Let's see. I on out NFL eliminator this week.
Yeah, you're done. So we'll do this. What games are you most excited about on the college football slate? What about TCU Kansas? You going to be firing that one up on the second TV while Tennessee plays LSU?
Nope.
What
don't
about,
care.
What about Arkansas Mississippi State? How about this CBS doubleheader? You going to be excited for Auburn Georgia?
No.
I think I'll be watching Utah.
I was answering the phone, but I'm actually really excited for that Kansas game.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
They play a really fun brand of football.
TCU is going to kill them.
Yeah. You already said walk the dog earlier this week.
I mean, I think TCU will beat them, but Kansas is fun to watch.
They're both undefeated. Winner of that game could be a great playoff pick.
TCU, 6.5-point favorites on the road.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence is such a tough place to play.
What do you think about Missouri at Florida?
A couple weeks ago, you'd have been like, oh, that's nothing. But now, the way Missouri hung in with Georgia last week, be a whole different thing.
Okay, what are you going to think about Georgia if Florida kills Missouri?
Georgia, Florida kills. I'm of the firm mindset that that game last week had nothing to do with Missouri and everything to do with Georgia just playing probably their worst game in 2 years. Abysmal play calling.
That game's at noon, too?
Mm-hmm.
The whole day's at noon.
Yeah, all the good games are, like, early.
They had to do that because of the doubleheader.
They could have put that game at 4 instead of Ole Miss Vanderbilt. I would have preferred Missouri Florida to be at 4.
Yeah.
I think the 4 o'clock ABC is the big game of the week for ABC. That's what Herbstreit and Fowler and them are going to.
Ohio State, Michigan State.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 30-point blowout.
Yep.
Maybe 50, like last year.
Old Tucker in trouble.
At least he's got job security.
Yeah, you've got 3 SEC games at noon. They're all competitive games, I feel like. Missouri Florida is the biggest line. Then you've got a 3:30 game and an 8 o'clock game that aren't even supposed to be close. Georgia's a 30-point favorite at home against Auburn. 30?
And that's on CBS?
Yes.
Remember, Texas Oklahoma used to be the big game, and it's at noon.
That game sucks. Weekend.
That game, it's always at noon.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I didn't realize it was on.
It's this week, too. Mm-hmm. They're not ranked, so it didn't pop up.
The state fair.
Ole Miss is a 17-point favorite against Vanderbilt, and Georgia is a 30-point favorite against Auburn. Make that make sense.
They think Georgia is looking ahead. I guess. I don't know.
To who?
Auburn.
Huh?
No, Georgia's a 30-point favorite against Auburn.
I know. They think they're looking ahead last week, and that's how they stunk. So they can game planning for Auburn.
Uh-huh.
They got Auburn.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. And they're going to roll because Kirby Smart, that's Kirby Smart, has a little higher than those.
Did you say Ole Miss at Vandy?
Yeah, 17-point favorite.
Rails night run for 400 yards. What do you think about that? Put that in your heist and snake it.
We'll come back. Do NFL Eliminator next. Stick with us. Kicking off hour 3.
I'm getting dehydrated.
Yeah, you're annoying.
Huh?